Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studios north of New York City. Well, baseball's roller coaster continues with its ups and downs. The ups, last night in his first summer camp outing amid the coronavirus pandemic, Gerrit Cole threw five innings of one-hit ball in an inter-squad game that the Yankees held, requiring only 67 pitches, 43 for strikes. And afterward, he and manager Aaron Boone talked about the outing.
It's good. It was nice to get through five. We were efficient, bounced back from a couple walks well, and overall the location was pretty good. Hit the load really well, worked with Gary well. Like I said, had all four pretty much located well tonight. Need to work on the fastball command a little bit, but good progression.
Obviously, you're trying to, push their pitch count, safely, responsibly. And we definitely did that tonight with Gerrit. Now it's how does he bounce back in between now and his next time out. So, I thought he threw the ball really well.
Mookie Betts in the Dodgers camp talked about playing with the Dodgers.
Obviously it's going to be an amazing thing just to be able to put on a Dodger uniform, really to put on a uniform in general. I'm happy. This is basically a new home for me. I'm definitely super excited and got 60 games to get into playoffs. And then, we got to bring home a ring.
The Giants postponed their workout because, like the Nationals and the Astros before them, they didn't have the results of testing that was done over the weekend. The Cubs and Cardinals also postponed workouts. Oakland reliever Jake Diekman, who we spoke to on the podcast 2 weeks ago because he's high risk, continues to express concern over the holes in the testing. On Tuesday, told reporters, "Once the regular season hits, there's no way I'm opting out. But if they don't get the testing figured out, then this whole thing will get shut down. During the season, there's no way we can go 72 hours or longer without knowing our result. There's just no way. There's no way that can possibly happen and this be safe for all 60, 70, or whatever days that it is." Eduardo Rodriguez, who was thought to be the opening day starter for the Boston Red Sox, has tested positive, and it's unclear whether or not he'll be able to participate as the restart begins. Diamondbacks manager Torey Lovullo said that prospect Seth Beer has tested positive for the virus. He did not have a report on how Beer is feeling. According to Evan Grant of the Dallas Morning News, there is confusion swirling around Joey Gallo. On one hand, he's tested positive twice under the MLB protocol, but he tested negative at a local lab in Dallas. The headline in the San Francisco Chronicle today about the whole thing reads like this: "The return of baseball. It's all falling apart." I will tell you, I'm hearing different things from other places. There's some teams where it feels like everything is going on seamlessly. And on the other hand, you see what's going on with clubs like the Athletics and like the San Francisco Giants. The Cleveland Indians are keeping outfielder Franmil Reyes away from training camp after he was spotted on social media attending a weekend holiday party without wearing a mask. Joe West told The Athletic he's not opting out despite the Council of Major League Baseball. West is 67 years old. He has a history of high blood pressure. He said that Major League Baseball expected him to opt out and was taken aback and shocked when he told them that he would not do so. He's just a handful of games away from breaking the all-time record for most games umpired. According to Newsday, the Mets and Yankees will play each other on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 in 2021.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting preventive.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Seamheads rejoice.
Nerd alert!
It's Timmy time.
Is this a great game or what?
With Tim Kirkchian on Baseball Tonight.
Tim Kirkchian covers baseball for ESPN. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Buster. A little bit nervous about things, opening on time as we all are, but I'm going to take the high road as always and hope we go in the right direction from here.
I got to tell you, got a lot of feedback from listeners after you were detailing all of your invites to the White House last week. Thanks for that.
Buster, you asked me a question. I answered the question. I'm sorry. I'm the last guy in the world that's going to be throwing around names, but I thought it was relevant when you asked me about the presidents in the White House. That's all.
All right. Before we get to some of the concerns around baseball, and those continue to be there, I just want to, you know, as we restart it and players are gathering and workouts are being held, last night, Gerrit Cole throwing in a simulated game, I wanted to get just a feel from you as a baseball fan, what you've been excited to see on some of these replays or maybe hear about as we're going along.
Yeah, and I think you start with Gerrit Cole because he's so spectacularly great, and yet he has set the complete tone, not just for the pitching staff, but for the Yankees about the best way to go about his business. He's so regimented. He's so observant about everything. Every pitch he throws in an inter-squad game matters, and I think the rest of the Yankees are paying attention, and I think that's a good thing. The other thing is, I just saw the other day that Tito Francona, who's the funniest man in uniform that maybe any of us have met, and Francisco Lindor, whose smile lights up a ballpark, they had a little back and forth the other day about, you know, hand sanitizer and pine tar, and they got them a little bit mixed up, and it was just so refreshing that at a time when everyone is naturally so worried about where does this go, is everyone healthy, Tito and Francisco Lindor pulled little pranks on each other, had a little bit of fun with each other, which is just a reminder, it's okay. This is still baseball. And even though there are serious, serious matters going on, it's okay to have a good chuckle as we try to get ready for a season.
And Tim, you led perfectly into an observation that I want to run past you. Let's face it, the greatest challenge for all these teams is the practical impact of COVID-19. You know, the Nationals have lost Ryan Zimmerman, Joe Ross, Wellington Castillo. The Braves are without Freddie Freeman. Nick Markakis opted out. First base coach Eric Young. But I feel like the second biggest challenge is, and I base this on conversations with managers and staffers, is overcoming the negative right now. And it's not to say that the negative isn't without merit, but the other day, listening to Sean Doolittle talk about, you know, how exhausting this all is, it does feel like that in different camps, there's a different vibe. Like, I hear great things about the Red Sox. I hear great things about the Mets camp so far. We saw Gerrit Cole, the excitement that he had. And on the other hand, at the top of the show, I mentioned that headline in the San Francisco Chronicle, which seems to reflect so far the experiences of the Oakland Athletics and the San Francisco Giants, that this is not working so far for them. And I feel like if you're, you know, Bob Melvin, the manager of the Oakland Athletics, or if you're Gabe Kapler in your first year managing the Giants, you know, that's part of the challenge right now, is to keep your players focused, keep them moving forward against a river of daily negativity, daily concerns, daily anxiety. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And we can't stress enough the importance of that, because we're only in a 60-game season. So if you're not ready to start the season because of poor testing or whatever it is, and you haven't gotten the number of reps you need, and you get off to a bad start, even if you're a really good team like the A's, you could be in a lot of trouble. And I think fighting the negativism, Buster, is exactly the most important thing right now, because again, the real disappointing part is this testing program has not been perfect. It's been far from it. And we should have all recognized that if we're going to bring these players into camp and we're going to get this thing started, everything has to go as smoothly as possible. And it simply hasn't worked that way. So that the next 2 weeks is going to be critical past that. So when July 23rd comes around, people are not only healthy, but they're ready to play mentally. That's critical.
We talked a little bit about this in the past, but I just want to follow up. What teams do you feel like are well equipped to do that? In other words, whatever. And I think in some ways that the players, you know, the managers, the staffers, they all need to think of this as like dealing the way they do with dealing with injuries. You know, and I know there's some teams where that will play through injuries and will be like, well, that's just part of the deal. And you know what? Next man up, let's go. I think that has to be the perspective. You know, I feel like, for example, that the Tampa Bay Rays are, when you see the comments from the players, when you hear about, you know, Kevin Cash and his optimism about what's going on, they're just moving at a different rate right now than some of the other teams. What are some other teams you feel like might be doing that?
Well, I still think the White Sox are in a really good position here because of the beautiful blend now that they have between veteran players, including guys they added in the offseason, Edwin Encarnacion, who brings what he needs to that club, and with, of course, all the young guys who are on the way back, Michael Kopech and the rest. I think there has to be a great vibe about that team right now. And the Reds are another team. Again, we've talked about that they're a contender, but they may be the type that could just come flying out of the gates. And with all the moves they made, Nick Castellanos, Mike Moustakas, they now have some depth, especially in the outfield, where they can move some things around. And David Bell, who's so good, just like his dad with people, that he's going to find a way to get the best out of these guys. And they have a really interesting bullpen also. I mean, Iglesias didn't even have a good year last year, but he's really good with Amir Garrett and what Michael Lorenzen can bring as far as flexibility. I really think with only 60 games, you got to have a manager who's got complete control of his team. But if you have a team that has great depth and a lot of moving parts, like the Rays, like the Reds now, and even like the White Sox, I think that really bodes well for teams like that have all those moving parts.
Look, I think you would be classified, not you, anybody would be classified as Captain Obvious if you were to say, these teams need to get off to a good start. Well, of course, it's only 60 games. But it feels especially that way, given everything that's swirling around the sport. Because you could see a team, Tim, if they get out of the gate, say, 3-7 in the first 10 games, they may be swallowed up by all these factors that are swirling around the sport. What do you think?
Yeah, and like you just look at a team like the Braves, who are really, really good. But they've already lost Nick Markakis. Their best player, Freddie Freeman, has tested positive. They're playing in the National League East, which is a really good division. They're interleaguer against the American League East, which is a really good division for the most part. So that's the kind of team that you look at and say, are they going to be able to pull everything together with everything that they have going wrong so far? And are they going to figure this out? And my answer is yes, I think they will. They're that good. But again, quick starts are going to be really critical. And the A's who we talked about always start slowly for whatever reason. I just don't think they can survive it if they get off to another slow start this year.
So the other day, Mike Rizzo, who you know well, general manager of the Washington Nationals, put out a very blunt statement about the state of the testing in baseball and basically said in so many words, look, Major League Baseball needs to figure this out or else the whole season is going to be in jeopardy. According to the Washington Post, Rob Manfred, the baseball commissioner, came down like a ton of bricks on Mike. He didn't like that statement. And I thought about that the last couple days. I listened to Mike Rizzo yesterday talk about, look, my responsibility is to try to keep these guys safe. You know, these guys are my family, and I'm the one who is charged with that. And I feel like that what needs to happen with Rob Manfred and Tony Clark, who at the top of the food chain in this effort to try to play baseball, we need to hear from those two more often. And they need, in my opinion, to embrace the challenges in a very public and transparent way. And when we have situations pop up like we did with the Nationals, you know, it shouldn't be Mike Rizzo that we hear from first. We should hear from baseball, and they come out and say, absolutely. You know, Rob Manfred does a Zoom call with reporters and said, look, this is unprecedented. We have challenges. We will work through them. We're going to do everything we can to work through them. And rather than, you know, stomp on somebody like Mike for saying what he said, just acknowledge the challenges that are there and acknowledge the concerns of players like Jake Diekman. I think we need to hear that from Rob and from Tony, you know, much in the way that we heard from Governor Cuomo in New York as they were going through their challenges. And I think people would get
right.
That.
I agree. It was my understanding that Tony Clark was going to get out a little bit more often publicly and explain a few things, which I think would be so helpful, not just to the public, but for his own players to see him out there explaining some things. And I'm sorry, I just don't think you can hear too much from the commissioner at this point. This is the guy who said our sport is a disaster a few weeks ago. Now he has to get everyone thinking that we're going to make it to July 23rd and everything is going to be done properly. And I know he's trying to do it, but I think he can try even more because I think people need to hear from him. And when the players see the commissioner come out and say, look, you guys are right. We're worried about this. This is not, it hasn't gone as well as it should have. We're going to make it better. I think they need to hear that more often than not.
All right, Tim. Good to talk with you. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, Buster. Good luck. I hope to see you soon.
We'll be talking with Rick Mace, the senior manager of programming and acquisitions for ESPN, about the upcoming ESPN baseball slate. But before that, I want to tell you, 30 for 30 podcast is back with season 8. And one of the things you can listen for, Heavy Metals, Inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire, a groundbreaking 7-part podcast series that takes listeners on a deep dive into the lives and influence of Bela and Marta Caroli, the most successful and controversial coaches in USA gymnastics history. Subscribe now to the 30 for 30 feed on Apple Podcasts to check out the trailer. The whole season drops next Tuesday, July 14th on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Rick Mace is the senior manager of programming and acquisitions for ESPN with Major League Baseball. He's had a busy 3-4 months trying to figure out what's going on. Rick, how you doing?
I'm good. Good as always, Buster. How you doing?
I bet you're sleeping a little better since the schedule now is set. Before we get to that, though, you are a regular listener of the podcast, and so I want you to get your take on what has become really the question of the week. What should the next name be for the Cleveland baseball franchise?
I love that you're asking that. I told you I was listening to you over the past few days, and there's been a lot of debate about this. Happy to weigh in. I'm a huge fan of the Wild Things idea, and I feel like that's been dismissed by a few people out there, but myself, my 11-year-old son, were huge fans of the Wild Things.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was actually a little bit surprised that it was sort of shoved off to the side, but it does feel like some momentum is building up for the Spiders as well, just in terms of public opinion.
Yeah, I get it, and I understand the Spiders, and I understand the history there. However, people don't like Spiders. My daughter doesn't like Spiders. My wife doesn't like Spiders. Tell you the truth, I don't really like them either. People don't like Spiders. You got to pick something that people universally like.
All right. I mentioned off the top that you your life is more settled now that the schedule in place. In all seriousness, when you look back at your last 3 months, how crazy was it on a daily basis? Is this whole thing to be shifting, you know, back and forth, going along this roller coaster?
It's been absolutely crazy. And you know, just like everybody else, I want baseball back as much as everyone. And, you know, when I put together a schedule, generally I work for 6 to 8 months putting everything together schedule-wise. And then over the last few months, it's just been a lot of starts and stops and, hey, this might be the plan for Major League Baseball. So I start to work something up on that, and then that gets bumped, and then there's another plan, and they move things back. But it's really been a series of sit around and wait, and then you get a new possible plan and run as fast as you can to try and put something together. And clearly, the timing that we had to do this, where baseball came up with the plan that is currently out there for the 60 games, and then for us to turn around at least the Sunday night baseball portion of our schedule, I did what I normally take about 6 months to do. I did in about 3 or 4 hours, and I actually did it while I was on a road trip, driving to go see my wife's parents in upstate New York. So it couldn't have been crazier.
That's unbelievable. I didn't know that. You did it 3 to 4 hours. How did you do that? Just go through on those days and say, okay, that's the game, that's the game, that's the game.
Well, yeah, and it was, I'll tell you what, I give a ton of credit. I have a great coordinator named Michael Feinberg that works with me, and literally I was driving my family, so I didn't have a computer in my hands, so I had to work with him, and I was a beautiful minding things up on the window of the car as we were going through it. But while he was frantically typing, but how it worked was literally once they got a plan that was locked in, they needed to move as fast as humanly possible. And baseball called me, Major League Baseball Broadcasting Office called me up. They said, here's the schedule. They sent it out and they basically said, look at Sunday nights, which obviously we build everything around, and dream up. We have a set of appearance rules that we have to follow. And obviously different teams are playing different teams with the geographic schedule this year that's in place. And they went, look, you've got 9 weeks of Sunday night baseball. What matchups of all the possible matchups, which ones do you think make the most sense? And we had to piece it together. And usually we can put a team on 6 times. This year we can only do it 3 times. And it was just putting together the puzzle as fast as humanly possible. Because they needed to get that out in order to build the rest of the schedule all around the season. So that's why it had to be done so quickly.
How many different versions would you guess that you went through of possible schedules from mid-March to when you finally settle on the particulars of the 60 games? How many different versions would you guess?
Well, I'll tell you, I probably went through 15 to 20 going through it all. But That doesn't even take into account the original schedule that we spent 6 months putting together for the season we thought we were going to have, which, you know, there's countless versions of that. And to tell you the truth, while we've got Sunday night down, we're still actively working to ESPN does a lot more games than Sunday night baseball. We're going to have 9 weeks of Sunday night baseball. We're probably going to carry somewhere between 35 to 40 games overall for the season, including the non-Sunday nights. And we're still working to piece that part together.
Let's talk about the slate that we have so far that's totally worked out. Yesterday I was on SportsCenter and they asked me for, the series that I was looking forward to the most. And I mean, first off, I'm a company guy, okay? I mean, I work for ESPN and I was just laughing as I looked. I said, I'm looking forward to the first ones. Yankees and Nationals right off the bat. I mean, for so many different reasons. You know, you and I were texting back and forth last fall about Gerrit Cole and where might he land and his first possible start. And now it looks like we're going to have that if all, goes according to plan. Then the Yankees being the best team on paper maybe in 20 years, the Nationals, the defending champions with those great starting pitchers. And also that, if we get to that, the 23rd, And we have baseball, that's going to be a conversation all to itself because of all the challenges. So I'm really looking forward to that. And also, how cool will it be, if one team or the other loses a couple games in a row, we're going to get that first sense of anxiety that's built into a 60-game schedule.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you brought it up. I'll tell the story that last year as we were putting this together, our goal was to try and get – we knew Gerrit Cole was going to be the biggest free agent in the offseason. We really tried hard because I thought he was going to land with the Angels, and we really tried hard. And Angels in Houston was our intended opening night game. Now, all it took was a worldwide pandemic for us to actually get it right and get Gerrit Cole on opening night. The irony there is kind of ridiculous. But look, I'm a huge Red Sox fan, but I'll tell you, if we get to the 23rd and I'm looking at pinstripes on TV playing baseball, few things in the world will make me happier. This is going to be it's a tremendous way to start the season with America's most popular team, the Yankees, out there against the World Series champion Washington Nationals, with the biggest free agent of the offseason on the mound. It's and him versus Scherzer, it's going to be tremendous. This one is not something that I dreamed up. I can't take credit for it, but I can't think of a better way for MLB to start the season.
What are some of the other matchups on Sunday night that you're really excited about?
Well, you know, I always say my job is to try and put the games on that most people want to watch. And this year, we're really going to be playing the hits. You know, our great research team delivers me updated information on America's favorite teams over and over again. And that's what we're working on this year. We've got a slate. We've got Atlanta and the Mets. We've got San Francisco, the Dodgers. We've got two Red Sox-Yankees matchups, two Cards-Cubs matchups. We've got two Philadelphia-Atlanta matchups out there. These are some of the best rivalries in the sports with some of the most popular teams in America. So, this is going to a Rolling Stones concert, and they're just playing the hits. No deep tracks on this one, because as you just said, just the fact that they're playing games should be the story itself. And you know, we're trying to give America the games that they want to see. So I couldn't be more excited about the Sunday night slate. We really have the most popular teams and the best rivalries in the game. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and fingers crossed as a sideline reporter potentially for that July 23rd game. I might actually get to drive down to Washington and be in the stands for that one. That's not locked in, but, man, just the idea of doing that and being at a ballpark someplace, that'll be really cool. Where are you going to watch that game from?
I will be watching it from my couch, as I will be most likely be watching all games this season. We haven't gone anywhere. We're homebound, but trust me, there's been a lack, aside from KBO, there's been a lack of baseball on my TV that has been really noticed this year between myself and my family. So I can't wait to actually have a game on my own TV, but I'll be watching from here, and I will be jealous that you are in the stands for it.
All right, Rick. Well, we'll have to wait and see if you have restarted the conversation around Wild Things as we move forward. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure, Buster. Thanks for having me.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Jumping into the numbers.
After evaluating millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye, the winner is Cincinnati by 200 points. Why, you worthless hunk of junk.
This is Hembo Knows.
And Hembo is Paul Imbachides, a researcher at ESPN who is a honcho on the show Get Up. He tells us he's the head honcho, but as we learned from Mike Greenberg, he's mostly renowned for his wild partying. Hembo, how you doing this week?
Good morning, Buster. Another week closer to the return of the best sport on earth. I am so excited as we dive into this thing.
Okay. Well, then you are expressing more confidence than what we're seeing in different places, like with the Giants, like with the Oakland Athletics. Jake Diekman, very outspoken about how this is going so far. What's your view so far of the rollout of these teams in the first summer, first days of summer camp?
Well, I opened your question a little bit with a tongue-in-cheek answer, because obviously I, like you, have read about some of the complications that we faced here. I think we're just so excited to have baseball back that seeing the, you know, the pictures and the video of these guys on the field is just such a refreshing thing. But at the same time, we know that there's so many complications here health-wise that you and I have discussed for months. The issues that Major League Baseball had in testing over the July 4th weekend, though it obviously was sort of a black eye kind of embarrassment for the league, I think ultimately might wind up going a long way in trying to tidy up their operation, because I think you and I would agree, Buster, the only thing that really matters here, we can talk as much as we want about strength of schedule and guys, how they'll project out over the next couple months in terms of how they play and which teams we favor and which teams we don't, but none of it matters if these guys aren't healthy and if they can't stop the spread of this thing. So ultimately, as we've said for months, the testing is the only thing that matters, and hopefully Major League Baseball can remedy this as best they can before the season starts. But if they can't, I'm with you. There could be, I mean, this thing could be stunted immediately. And, you know, these grandiose plans we have for the sprint of a season might not even ever even get started.
Hembo, I mentioned to Tim Kirkjian that I really feel like that it would be a help in this moment if we heard directly from the two people who are at the head of the food chain on this whole thing, and that's Rob Manfred and Tony Clark. You know, the other day when the strong statement put out by Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Nationals, clearly expressing some frustration, some anger. And we heard, we learned from the Washington Post that Rob Manfred called Mike Rizzo and came down like a ton of bricks on him. I feel like they should all treat it like this is an unprecedented situation. And of course they're going to be. There are going to be challenges, and there are going to be some things they may not overcome. And I think it's smart to just say that, just be a leader and get out in front of it and say, look, yeah, you know what? We feel terrible that we weren't able to get the Nationals the results. We're going to work to do better. And hopefully tomorrow they'll be back on it. And then just keep talking about what you're doing to try to address it. I think about, you know, in a sense, I've made the comparison of baseball general managers to the state governors. That's what I think Tony and Rob should be doing. Be like Governor Cuomo in New York. Just come out every day. Okay, here's where we stand. This is the positive test. This is what we're doing to try to make this better. I think that would help everybody.
I think it would help everybody too. Obviously, there are a few, you know, problems with your theory, Buster. The first is obviously that, at least as best we can tell, those two guys hate each other. When two guys on the top of the food chain are trying to eat each other's heads off, obviously it makes it much more difficult to have a clear and concise plan and messaging that goes to the public. But that's extremely important for baseball. My guess is that Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts and the NBA folks are probably constructing a similar plan where they can provide regular updates as to what they need to message, because that obviously is the right plan. I think Cuomo in New York obviously was the person who really stood out as saying all the right stuff and sort of taking the slings and arrows and projecting this thing forward. That's really and really, really important for baseball. But ultimately, like you said, what these guys are still worried about is the wrong thing. I read the same Washington Post article that you did, and the notion that Rob Manfred should be worried about public criticism about this is nonsense. What we need to worry about is getting it right.
Yep.
What we've learned is saying sorry and trying to fix it is what the public wants. It's what the public has always wanted. And yet here we are still acting like we're still in the midst of this labor war. We're not. Like, we're past it, at least temporarily. We need to get this thing right from a health standpoint, because obviously everyone wants the same thing. The league and the players all want the same thing there. So let's at least put our differences aside for the moment, like you said. Be a forward-facing organization with clear messaging to the public and to the players. And so far, that has certainly not happened.
And by the way, the consumers get it. Like, I think people around this country would understand generally that you're going to have challenges under the current context. And I'll make the comparison. There have been times when we've been doing TV hits. And as you know, I wear an earpiece on those. And someone, one of the people who's operating the shop might say, well, you know, your hair's out of place or your hair doesn't look great. I'm going to be. And my response has been, yeah, that's the way it goes. Like, you know, and I think people understand that now. Like, they get it.
We've all watched enough people in boxes on television now over the last few months to understand what's going on. And people obviously have been reading the news and listening to all the news conferences in this regard. So, yes. The notion that Major League Baseball wants to pretend as if everything is hunky-dory and on the up and up, when it's clearly not going to be for any of this time, is silly. Baseball needs to get ahead of this, because inevitably during the season, there's going to be a team that suffers an outbreak, or there's going to be an issue with travel, or a certain state is going to be such that the governor might say, you can't fly into the state to play baseball games. Like, we have to be there, Buster. Right now we're in crisis management, and the worst way to handle crisis management is to do it this way. It's to pretend like the crisis doesn't exist and to worry about the way that your messaging is, and to worry about the way that the public relations hit that you're taking anytime something goes wrong. The complete opposite should actually be the case.
All right. The other day, Major League Baseball released its 60-game schedule. Give me some teams you felt like had some advantages and some disadvantages.
Buster, I think it helps the Angels, though they play the hardest schedule based on last season's record. They do own the largest travel advantage in the league. They travel 3,286 fewer miles than their opponents. That's the biggest advantage in baseball. Further, over the last two seasons, the Angels own a plus 30 run differential in games 1 through 60, minus 130 in games 61 through 162. So they're a team that started fast, and obviously Mike Trout by himself should be able to produce 3 or 4 wins above replacement on his own. We'll see if he plays the whole season. The team I think it hurts the most, Buster, as much as it pains me to say, is the Phillies. They're the only team in the National League East where they travel disadvantaged. They travel 1,057 more miles than their opponents. They're also one of 7 teams that will play a stretch of 20 games in 20 days. They do that from August 25th to September 13th. And lastly, that span, Buster, overlaps with a stretch of 24 straight games against teams that finished 500 or better in 2019. That's from August 6th to September 2nd. That's the longest stretch of its kind for any team in the National League. So to summarize, I think it helps the Angels. It hurts the Phillies.
I feel better about a SportsCenter hit that I did yesterday when I was asked about the schedule advantages and disadvantage. I mentioned the White Sox as a team with an advantage because the games against the Tigers and the Royals, and the Phillies were my pick in the National in baseball for the toughest schedule. And if you're saying that, I'm feeling better about that. All right. Oh, yeah. Yesterday on Get Up, we had a conversation about which athlete would you take for the next 10 years. And as you know, I got on Greeny, because it was such a non-specific question. It wasn't about marketing, or it wasn't about championships. It wasn't about production. I mentioned that I feel like that Mike Trout over the next 10 years is the safest bet in baseball on production. How do you feel about that?
So based on production, Buster, I actually disagree. So I really enjoyed putting this together, and I love that we had that conversation on the show yesterday. It was one of the best things that we did. I think if you're choosing a player over the next decade that you would bet on, the first, it has to be a position player, Buster, because of the volatility of pitchers. I think that goes without saying. The second thing, though, I think I want to pick a player who is going to play the majority of that decade in his 20s because of the current sort of age curve in Major League Baseball. And third, I sort of look at that position player's performance as a hitter. Because when you start fielding and base running are things that come and go with injury, come and go with how stable your legs are. So ultimately, which bat do I favor the most over the next decade, Buster? And the answer to that question for me is Juan Soto. The entire list, Buster, of players to post a .400 on base percentage through their age 20 season is Jimmy Fox, Mel Ott, Ted Williams, and Juan Soto. Over the last 2 years, he ranks 9th among 122 qualified hitters in strikeout to walk rate, and he didn't play any of those games during the regular season at the age of 21. This is a hitter of unprecedented resume at this point in his career. I think we've learned over the last several years that the ability of one to control the strike zone is just as, if not more important than their batted ball profile, which anecdotally, Juan Soto has a very favorable one as well. So I think when you look at him, there's obviously plenty of other people that you could argue for, but ultimately the body of work and the way he plays, Juan Soto would be my answer to that question.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I did a piece before the first spring training started, talking to Kevin Long, his hitting coach with the Nationals. And, you know, it really just comes down to how much drive he has, you know, as he goes through. Does he continue to put in the type of work that we've seen? And based on everything we've seen so far, this is someone who just absolutely burns to be great. He burns to master everything, and he certainly, to this point, has checked every box, so I agree with you.
The last thing I would say, Buster, is his performance in the World Series last year was really what tipped the scale for me, because I think you can make a really good argument for Ronald Acuna Jr. You can't. But ultimately, when you see how Juan Soto digs in against the best pitchers in the game, and the way that he was genuinely the most feared hitter in that series, in a collection of, obviously we're talking about some of the best hitters in baseball in those two teams, that's what really stood out to me. So perhaps I could end up regretting that, because, you know, maybe Fernando Tatis becomes a star playing in the middle of the diamond. Maybe Ronald Acuna continues to take a step forward. Who knows? Jeff Passan even mentioned yesterday on our show that Wander Franco is someone he would consider, the reason he had to play a big league game. But ultimately, to answer that question, I need to have seen some track record, and I think Soto's is second to none.
All right, Embo. Good to talk with you.
Likewise. Later, boys.
Bleacher Tweets.
Okay, Buster. Coming in for Bleacher Tweets on this fine Wednesday. First up, our guy PK Steinberg. He writes in, "Hey, Buster, do you know if any players listen to the podcast? And if so, could you please name them?" We've never talked about this before. Do any players that you know of listen to the pod?
Yes.
Have?
I can't tell you for sure if they listen on a regular basis. I don't want to use their names. I don't want them, but they have reached out to me with comments about different things, and a number of front office people listen to the podcast on a regular basis. When I, you know, talk to folks around baseball, sometimes that'll be the first part of the conversation. "Hey, listen to that podcast yesterday with so-and-so. That was great." "Hey, I listened to that. You know what? I disagree, and here's why," which is really cool. It's fun feedback.
Absolutely. We had a number of Bleacher tweeters write in with possible Cleveland name ideas. I want to throw a couple at you. First up, we got Tommy Boy at the Tommy Boy writes in. He offers up the Lumberjacks.
Mm. Yeah, I need to know more about the connection.
Okay.
You know, and also, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good. You know, I like that one.
Yeah. That one was, I think it was just kind of, I think it was a name of a nearby amateur hockey team at some point. This next one from Dave Campbell, he throws out the Cleveland Captains instead of the Cleveland Commodores because we had that conversation with Todd yesterday, trying to steer away from other names that are already being used. That's okay.
Yeah. I like the Commodores better than the Captains.
Yeah. AA Ron San Diego, totally fresh one, the Sliders.
Well, not totally fresh, because that's the name of the mascot for the Indians.
Oh,
so, but pardon me. You know, it would be an extension of that. Yeah, I think that's one you throw out there when you do your fan poll.
Brian O'Connor at Blue Mooney 65 throws out the Cleveland Steamers, but
Yeah, well, I could see that in relation to the ships, but it's the other type of steamer why you would never do it, okay?
Yeah.
And we talked to Tom yesterday about, you know, creating headlines for writers with your team name, and that would certainly be one right there.
Yeah. Next up, Terry must have missed the podcast yesterday, because he has decent reasoning. We've seen this before, but Terry Strabler says, "What about the Cleveland Buckeyes? Pay tribute to the Negro League team in Cleveland. They wear their jerseys for throwback days already, or can there only be one Buckeyes team in Ohio?" And as Todd laid out yesterday, you get into negotiations with the Ohio State Buckeyes and see how that goes.
And I don't live in this state, but my sense is that the most cherished team in that state, the Ohio State Buckeyes. So I don't think that that would be a popular suggestion.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a couple of them. We'll keep sorting through. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets. Keep them coming. Last question for today. Scott D. Giorgio? Taking a stab at it. At Scotty DG1. Have the last few months been the longest continuous time you've been in the Eastern time zone? Good question, Scott.
Yeah, Scott, not even close. I've said on the podcast before, I came from the most boring family ever because the cows had to be milked twice a day. Every single day. So we never went anywhere. We never vacationed. Like, the idea of a family vacation, it never happened in our house growing up. The first time that I left the Eastern time zone was actually the day that I flew to Vanderbilt to enter the school. I didn't visit the school. I never left the time zone. I got on a plane in Burlington, Vermont, flew to Nashville. It was the first time I ever left the Eastern time zone at age 18.
What about when you started covering baseball? I guess you cover the Padres.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, once you start covering baseball, you're bouncing all over the country. But,
right.
You know, for longest continuous time in the Eastern time zone, no question, it was the first 18 years of my life.
All righty. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter.
Thanks today to Hembo, to Rick, to Tim, to Taylor. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on race are things we have to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.